I guess I deserve that. Probably not. That's how I remembered Jeff's name when I couldn't get it right for a while. So just got to call you the wrong name once. So we've been working through a parenting series. But if you remember last week, we talked about that this applies to all of us. Because even if you don't have kids living in your home, you have an opportunity to have an impact in kids' lives and in the lives of the youth and the children of this church and in those around you. And so this applies for all of us. And last week, we started by looking at what it means to extend our worship to the Lord, exalting Him. And we looked at, in Deuteronomy 6, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And then that those words will be on your heart. And that's where parenting needs to start. And though we didn't really get into parenting much, we recognize that our relationship with the Lord needs to be right and active and growing, and we need to be living it out before we can even begin to have a good impact in our kids' lives. And so the challenge and the reminder there that it needs to start with you, and that you, and His words need to be on your heart and that you're living it out. And we looked at a bunch of quotes, and we kind of recognized that in our world today, there was two problems we were seeing. We were seeing the lack of adult involvement in children's lives. Not just parents, but adults in general. And then we were seeing just teenagers that are not living up to high expectations. There's just not as much expected of them. And that's why we have young adults, 20s and 30s year olds, who are still acting like teenagers. And so that'll really be our sermon next week. And so this week we're going to look at that adult involvement and what it means specifically as parents to be discipling your kids. That's the word we're going to kind of talk about over and over this morning, is discipleship. And so looking at our exalt, equip, extend, we're doing extend this week. And though when we talk about extend, we're talking about extending God's word to the people who don't know Him. But that is our children. They're born without knowing Him. They're born into sin. And so we need to start by extending His words to them and helping them grow in their walk with Him. And so this morning we want to look at that as we talk about it. Look, and I forgot again, but I put it here. There are clothes out in the fellowship hall that there's lots and lots of them that are to be given away. Christy has done a great work to get them already, and some other ladies helped as well. So if you haven't been out there after church, go and check what's out there. And there are plenty of clothes, and there are lots of you. So make sure they all disappear so Christy doesn't have to put them all away. So there we go. I was told last week after church, I mentioned the teens and I mentioned young adults and parents and grandparents, but I forgot great grandparents. But I just wanted to know that since you're already great, I didn't feel the need to bring you up, because just so you know, I didn't forget you. So maybe I did. Again, I just want to kind of look at a couple, not near as many, there's only five or so quotes in here this morning, as we talk about parent involvement in kids' lives and adult involvement and what that looks like. And just to remind ourselves kind of what we want to look at and what then, as we get into Scripture, what that means for us. And so they should be on the screen for you. American parents spend less time with their children than do parents in any other country in the world. And this was done by a Harvard psychiatrist who kind of did a study on it. And that was pretty eye-opening for me, but also just very discouraging. Mark DeVries from Family Faith Youth Ministry said, emotionally available neighbors, grandparents, teachers, or coaches are quickly moving to the endangered species list. As the pace of life topples over itself and the number of children who need care vastly outpace the number of adults who choose to be available to them. Josh McDowell, one in four young people indicate they have never had a meaningful conversation with their father. And that's a challenge to me as a father, but also God calls the men to be the leader in the home. And if you're not leading and you're not spending that time with your children, that's where it needs to start. A survey, this is actually an article that Wendell had given me, and this was in there, a book called Sticky Faith. But he's just noticing a lot of the same things that I've been noticing and hearing and reading. And so I just wanted to share this one as well. But after this nationwide survey of 3,290 kids, teens, and their parents, as well as after conducting 250 in-depth interviews, Dr. Christian Smith, concluded, most teenagers and their parents may not realize it, but the most important social influence in shaping young people's religious lives is the religious life modeled and taught to them by their parents. So that was discovered in a survey he did. And then coming off the same book, but they did another survey, and graduating seniors were asked to rank five groups in terms of quality and quantity of support they receive. And these are the five groups: friends inside their youth group, outside their youth group, youth leaders, parents, and then adults within the congregation. And you know what they recognized and who they realized was the most important supportive person in their life was parents. And so that should hopefully be a challenge to you, because discipleship parents starts with you at home. And discipleship doesn't need to end when your kids graduate and move out of the house. You have an opportunity to continue to discipleship and influence your kids. I know, especially my wife, she has a great relationship with her mom, and she calls her mom all the time for advice. And so there still can be that continuing relationship and that opportunity to speak into their lives. And it was really cool. We were up in Sunday school this morning, and Garrett, I was talking to the kids about school and getting ready to go back to the school, and Garrett's homeschooled, but he also is often involved with other things. But he, I believe, helps serve meals down at the senior center, if I'm correct. Okay. And so I said, are you ready for school and to go back to learning? And he said, honestly, I learned more from the old people down at the senior center. And so I was like, look, I can use that. That goes perfectly with what I'm talking about this morning. And so I'm sure his mom and dad are great teachers, whoever teaches him at home. But it was just awesome to hear him say the real life experience he's getting from meeting with people who've lived life. And it just goes so perfectly with what we've talked about with adult involvement. So Garrett, A plus for you. but just a real testimony to hear and to know exactly what we want to look at in the adult involvement in kids' lives. And so if you've ever noticed, if your kids' faith, behavior, attitudes, if it looks eerily familiar, it's probably because they've learned it from you. It's probably because they've seen you live it out. And so we have to recognize that we are discipling our kids, whether or not we intend to. We are discipling our kids. And so that's a quote from Matt Chandler. And he says, if you have a kid, you are a disciple maker. The question to ask yourself then is, what are you discipling them towards? And so you are a disciple maker. Whether or not you want to be, if you have kids, you are discipling. There's no way around it. And the question you need to check and ask yourself is are you discipling them towards what the Bible teaches and to love Jesus, or are you discipling them towards the ways of the world? Because you are discipling, you just need to recognize what it is that you're discipling towards. And so we can see that often in their behavior and in our behavior, because they're going to reflect us. And it's so funny, because I see things all the times in my kids and I'm like, where did you get that? Oh, right, that was from me. And they really have a way of helping us recognize our weaknesses when it comes out in them, or they repeat things we say, and then I go, oh, I guess I really shouldn't have said that, because they'll repeat it, and then they'll repeat it over and over and over. And although we didn't say it, my wife was reminding me this morning of when Grady heard, some little kid's show, and it wasn't even anything bad, but they said sacrifice, and so then Grady's running around chanting, sacrifice, sacrifice! And we're like, that could be awkward. But it's just a really good example of kids are going to hear and pick up on what we are teaching them and what we are saying and what we are living out. And so you are a disciple maker. And so be careful what you're living out, because you are teaching them. And so this morning we're going to look at some different points. And I just wanted to let you know that a few of these kind of came from some general ideas I heard from Matt Chandler. He does a great parenting series. And so some of the general ideas I borrowed from him, I was going to say stole, but I borrowed them. And then a lot of the details and stuff, I just go with what we're looking at. But I wanted to mention it to you, and I put a link there in your bulletin, because we're going to kind of just look at some general stuff and some of the general points he uses, and I use some extra general points as well. But he gets into some real good practical stuff in those series. And so if you want some additional resources or some real good practical stuff beyond what we're going to talk about today, that is a great series and a great sermon set to look at, and that's a great way to access it. And so I wanted that to be available to you. And so If we're going to talk about discipleship and discipling our kids, before we get into scripture, we should know what discipleship is so we know what we're doing. And the definition straight out of the dictionary is one who accepts and assists in spreading the doctrines of another, which I thought was awesome from a secular dictionary to recognize that we're discipling our kids towards the doctrines of Jesus Christ that we have in scripture and that he gives us. And though maybe that's not exactly what they're pointing at, they recognize that it's spreading the doctrines of another person. And so we want to teach them and assist in spreading to our children the doctrines that Jesus teaches us and lays out for us in his scripture and in his holy words. And so we're going to kind of look at 4 points there in your outline. They're kind of 4 ways. Well, the first three are really 3 ways that we can be discipling our kids. And then the fourth is why we're going to do that. And so we will look at scripture and I'll kind of pull a point from the scripture. But what you're going to notice as we look at these four points, and then if you look back at the verses that we've already read, you're going to notice that they really all intertwine together. And you can see kind of all points in all of the scripture. But we will kind of take them one at a time. And so the first point that we want to look at and talk about is time. Time itself. And we're going to go right back to Deuteronomy 6, which we read last week. And I've told you is kind of our premise and our basis for our verses and for this whole series. And so let's read together. I'll read it for you. Deuteronomy 6 and then verses 4 through 9. And you'll notice what we talked about last week here to begin with. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. And we're really going to focus in on verse 7, and I don't have the verses up there, but it's in red for you. But it's that you shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise. And I just make a point here. Notice the time spent with children. Notice the time that he refers to spent with your children. He really talks about 4 different ways to spend time with your children. He says, talk about them when you sit in your house. How many of you sit in your house? Oh, no, nobody. Okay. Well, I sit in my house. Okay. Oh, good. Roger sits in his house. All right. But when you sit, okay, I think we all do that. Okay. So you've got it covered. You sit at home. So talk about what God teaches when you sit at home. And when you walk, when you walk by the way, okay, it could mean when you're going to work. Maybe you're dropping your kids off at school. Maybe you just go for a walk around your house. But the note here is, you know, that it's covering whether you're in your house or out of your house. Talk about the Lord. Okay. How many of you go to bed at night when you lie down? Okay. Oh, good. We have a few more people who do that. or take naps. I like naps. Or when you rise, when we get up in the morning. And so he's covering the whole day. Okay. We go to bed and when we wake up. And he doesn't make it difficult. He doesn't hit these really complicated moments. It's just the simple things in life. We sit down together for a meal. Maybe you sit down to play a game, or maybe you're just relaxing in the living room. Maybe you sit down to play with toys with your children. When they go to bed at night, praying with your children, or opportunities to just be in there and talk through the day with them. He doesn't make it really complicated. And what I love Matt Chandler in his series over and over and over when he was talking to parents, he just keeps saying, you can do this. And it's just a really good point. I think sometimes as parents, we feel like it's complicated, and it is. Our children are unique, and they provide us with challenging moments, and we feel ill-equipped, but God's word makes it simple. He just talk to them. Talk to them about what God teaches and the commands he gives us and the grace that he shows, and just talk to them. Talk to them throughout the day in the time that you have with them and when those opportunities come up. And so he makes it really simple. And so you can do this, parents. You can teach your kids about Jesus. You can disciple them. You can raise them up to be people who follow after him. And so the other question I really asked myself was, okay, we see all of this. We see how we are supposed to spend time with them throughout the day and be involved in their lives. But what does, you know, it says diligently, and I feel like he could have just said, teach them to your children, but he adds this word diligently. And so what does that mean? And so the dictionary definition there is characterized by steady, earnest, and energetic effort. Painstaking. Okay, it's not going to be easy, but it is easy. but there's going to be that time and that effort that we have to put into it. There are great opportunities throughout the day. It's just all right in front of you, but you've got to make the effort to do it, to spend that time with your children in steady, earnest, energetic effort, painstaking. If you look up the original Hebrew word, it says impress upon. Okay? Impress upon your children, or repeat. Okay? Sometimes we feel like we do it once and we're done. But I know as an adult, I need things repeated over and over and over. I can hear a point and learn it, and then the next day forget it. Or we learn that when we go through trials that it can be difficult, but God is teaching us. But when we're in those trials, it's so easy to forget that. And so we need things repeated. And if we as adults need it repeated, then definitely our children do even more. And so just great word usage there in diligently spend that time with your children. Make that effort painstaking. Get in there and be a part of their lives. And so what does this look like? We see where it talks about it with lying down and rise up. And so what does that look like kind of a little bit practically for us? And so in most of these, I tried to think of some examples from my own life just to give you some illustrations of what I've seen or what God is teaching me so you can just have an example and maybe it can be an encouragement to you. And there's definitely times, you know, when I don't get it right, when I mentioned earlier where my kids will repeat what I say and I go, okay, I need to watch what I'm saying. God help me to watch what I'm saying. But time, you know, one of the stories that came to my mind is Grady. When we go to bed at night and he sleeps in our room on a bed next to our bed. But for a couple of weeks there, he was every night he'd go to the window and look out the blinds and look up and look at the moon and look at the stars. And he goes, Mom, Mom, come look at the moon and look at the stars. And what an opportunity right there just to teach him about who made the stars and who made the moon and something right up his alley as a now 3-year-old. That's not too complicated, but he can recognize that there is awesome creation out there and that God made it. And that I know that's something we did with our girls as well, and just great opportunities to just teach them simple things. I was thinking back. We had that little video with the kids last week, and I asked them what love is, and Evie gave her answer, and then we talked about it afterwards because, you know, she said, love is getting married. That was one of the things she said, and I said, well, I'm not going to marry you, but I love you, and she's like, oh, well, then what is love? And so I actually had her go read 1 Corinthians 13, and so as your kids get older and they ask questions, there's great opportunity to just send them to Scripture and have them read it to you, and then you can talk about it. And Evie's just getting to that age, and it was really cool. That was actually the first time we'd done it. It was just a really cool opportunity to have her read a verse to me and just be able to talk about it a little bit with her. And so it doesn't have to be anything complicated, that time with your children. There are great moments that are right before you throughout each and every day. You just need to recognize them and be willing to just point them towards Jesus and to talk about Jesus in those moments instead of just moving on past it or ignoring it. But take that time, because I could have easily, you know, last week when she talked about that, we could have just moved on and went and played. But instead, we could take those few minutes and talk about what God teaches love actually is. And then there's times, you know, that I have to be careful, because I want to take, you know, I want to take a moment here and talk about the mistakes that we make too. You know, those are real time opportunities as well to teach your kids. It's really easy for us as parents to feel like we have to have it all together and we can't make mistakes in front of our children. But those moments that you make mistakes, that you fall short, those are some of the greatest moments to teach your children about who Jesus is. And I think time and time again, or I can see when my kids get frustrated with each other and they get this little attitude or this little voice. And I was like, wow, that sounds vaguely familiar, like my voice when I get a little annoyed with them. And so I have to recognize the times that I snap at them or that I get my voice annoyed with them or whatever. And I need to go to them and I need to say, hey, look, guys, I'm sorry. I messed up on that one. I had a grumpy voice, or I snapped at you, or even when I make a wrong choice, or I spanked Evie a little too hard. You need to take those moments and you need to apologize to your children and you need to allow them to see your humility and that you make mistakes as well and that you don't have it all together, because if they think you have to have it all together, they're going to feel that they need to have it all together, and we just don't, and we fall short. So make sure you take those moments as well, that time as well, in those shortcomings, to reach out to your children and to take those opportunities to apologize and to seek their forgiveness. It's extremely humbling, but it's a great way to be Christ-like example to them. And then just as you think about it too, a lot of you guys have opportunities to just be involved in your kids' lives. They do sports. Go to their sporting events. It meant a lot to me that my parents always came to my sporting events. Or if band, go to their band recitals, their rehearsals, go to their performances. Be involved in their classroom. Be involved in their school. I know some of the times the older kids go, "No, don't come to school, Mom." But great opportunity to be involved in their life and to show that you care. Take them to the library. My girls love to go on daddy-daughter dates. Opportunities to go spend that one-on-one time together and do just a fun activity and just be that time together. So be intentional and take time with your children. Okay, that is that time throughout the day to just be involved in their lives. Because we can get so busy with work and the needs around the house and everything else that we need to do that we can often put our kids on the back burner, but they need to be the priority in your life. They should be what comes first and foremost after your relationship with Jesus and with your wife, that you want to teach God's word to your children. So get involved in their lives and get involved with what they do. And I have been thankful in my short time here already for many of the parents who come to the youth activities, well, partially because I have to have other adult help, but they're here and they're involved and they're being a part of what their kids are doing. And that is just a wonderful opportunity. And I don't have an answer yet today with how it's going to look, but I've been brainstorming and talking with some other people, but we're trying to think of some different ideas of how we can get you guys involved as a congregation in the youth lives. And so, hopefully we'll be sharing a little bit more with that as time comes, but I'd love to just see, even if we have, you know, one of the ideas is that, and then we might do is have you just come and be a part of a youth group night once every couple of months. Just be involved with the games and the time that we sit down and talk about God's word and just come and be involved in their lives. Just like Garrett said, he learns from them down at the senior center. A great opportunity to be a part. So time spent with your children. Our next point moments. Okay, so time is just being involved and taking advantage of that, those opportunities throughout the day. Moments then, where I see moments and what that means is being intentional to sit down and talk about God's word. So not necessarily those moments that just arise that you can take advantage of that time to talk to them about God, but being intentional and saying, hey, right now over dinner, we're going to sit down and do devotions together. Or hey, right now before bed, we're going to sit down and pray together. Those times, taking those moments to be intentional to talk about God or to be looking in his word. And so in Deuteronomy 6, still we kind of skip some stuff in the middle that Moses reminds the people that God says, hey, we're going into this land. Don't forget about me. I am the one God that you should serve. And I've blessed you with this land. And then he goes on to these verses then in verse 20 through 25. I'm in the later part of chapter 6, and so let's read these verses together. And they say, when your son asks you in time to come, what is the meaning of the testimonies and the statutes and the rules that the Lord our God has commanded you? Then you shall say to your son, we were Pharaoh's slaves in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed us signs and wonders, great and grievous, against Egypt and against Pharaoh and all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from there that he might bring us in and give us the land that he swore to our fathers. And so we see a father take moments with his son when his son asks, why do we have these testimonies and these rules and these statutes from the Lord? And it's not always going to be that simple. Your son and your kids aren't always going to come and say, hey, why do we do this? And you've got a good opportunity in that moment to sit down and talk about it. And that's great. They will come to you at times, but you're not always going to have it that simple. But we see is an intentional moment to sit down and talk about what God has done in their lives. And so you need to take those intentional moments to sit down and study Scripture, to sit down and to talk about what God has done, to sit down and pray. Intentional time to talk about God, not just as the moments arise. Intentional time together. And so we also see, looking through a lot of Deuteronomy here and in this chapter, but we see he takes time not just to talk about God, but to talk about what God's commands are, what they teach us about how we should live. Because if we don't teach that to our children, how are they going to know how to live? And I hope and pray that you, what you teach your children about how to live and the rules and disciplines and things that you set up are because it's what God's word commands and what God commands as the rules for our lives or the expectations for our lives. And not just because we think it's what's right or we feel like it's what's right, but it's what God's word commands. And so, you know, we see here the son say, what's the meaning of the testimonies and the statutes and the rules? And so my question for you would be, what are the meaning of your statutes and rules? Why do you have the expectations you have in place at home? And I don't need to know all your rules and all your expectations, and that doesn't matter. And I'm not challenging or questioning any of those or doubting any of those. But you need to ask yourself and make sure that you have them in place because they line up with what God teaches in his words, that they line up with the commands of Scripture. Because that's the commands that we should be teaching to our children is what God commands in Scripture. And he lays a lot of that out for us in his commands. And so the son says, why do we obey all these things? Why do we follow God? And he goes on to teach him about that. And if you look in verse 23, it says, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And he showed signs and wonders great and grievous against Egypt and against Pharaoh. And he brought us out from there that we might bring us in and give us the land he swore to our fathers. And so we see God rescue his people from Egypt, and then he brings them out and saves them, and then he says, so that he might bring us into the land before our fathers, and we obey his commands. And so it sounded vaguely familiar, not vaguely, it sounded really familiar as I read that and go, wow, that's exactly the story of the New Testament and Jesus Christ on the cross. He came and died on the cross for our sins and paid that ultimate price to save us from bondage and from sin. And through that, as we accept that and we live that out, we are expected to obey his commands. So we see that match the Israelites here. They were rescued from Egypt and God said, here, these are the commands I give you, now obey them. And that's the same thing in our lives. God saved us and rescued us, but he still wants us to obey the commands he puts before us. And he wants us to obey him, not just because we're to obey him, but because it represents him and brings him glory to an unbelieving world. And it's through those obeying his commands that we have that opportunity to teach our children and to teach the world about him. And so, great opportunities. And so, take those moments to talk to your children. This is definitely an area in my life and my wife's life that we lack. And so it's a challenge to me as I look at this and I study. I think that God has blessed us with doing well at taking the time, the little opportunities that arise throughout the day to just talk to our kids and be intentional about that. But we have not been so good at saying, hey, we're going to do devotions every today, tonight at dinner, or taking things and being intentional about that. And as our kids get older and can read the Bible, it needs to become more and more of a priority. But even as little kids, we can read it to them. And I know often my wife is better at that as she reads to them sometimes in the morning and they would read a proverb together a day or things like that. But a real challenge to take those moments as well and be intentional and say, hey, we're going to sit down and we're going to do this together. Or we're going to sit down and you're going to tell me how you're thankful for God working in your life. And be intentional about those moments together. And then we're going to jump to Psalm. And it goes very well with Deuteronomy, and they even reflect back on the Israelites and escaping Egypt and then wandering in the desert for 40 years. And then, if you know the story of the Israelites, God gave them the land, but they still turned away from God and followed the false gods. And we're going to see just a similar story in Scripture here in Psalm 78. And so point number three then will be to celebrate milestones. Celebrate milestones. And a milestone is a big thing that's happened in your life that you want to remember and remember how God has worked in it. And so let's look at Psalm 78 and again, see how these all intertwine. As the Father teaches the Son, why do we have these things? He's remembering that milestone about how God rescued them from Egypt. But here we go. Psalm 78, verses 1 through 4. Give ear, O my people, to my teachings. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from of old, things that we have heard and known that our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, but tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders that he has done. So we see him say, look, we've kind of forgotten about this. This psalm comes from a man named Asaph. And he wants to remind the people to teach the children about what God has done. And he says, I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old. And we often think about parables with Jesus, but they're used in the Old Testament as well. And here he's teaching parable in the broader sense in that he's got a story with a moral and a spiritual application. And we are only going to look at the first 8 verses of Psalm 78, but that's the rest of it beyond that is where he reminds the people of how God brought them out of Egypt and they wandered in the desert and then how they've turned away from God, why they've been in the promised land. And he reminds them of all the errors that they've made and that they need to be teaching their children because when they don't, this is what happens. And so he talks about parables and then dark sayings of old. I was wondering kind of what that meant. And it's an obscure saying or a riddle. And so we see that he's reminding them, and it's something that they've forgotten about. They haven't been aware of God's words. And if many of those kings who came in and ruled in Israel when they were in the promised land turned away from the Lord and put away the temple, and they brought in a lot of false gods and built false temples. And so a lot of scripture and what was written was hidden or buried or destroyed. And so the people just didn't have access to it and weren't aware of it. And so Asaph here reminds them and says, look, this is what God has done. This is what he's given us. And he's celebrating that milestone and saying, we should be teaching it to our children. We need to remind them so they will be aware of it, so they will know it, and so they will follow after the Lord. We will not hide it from them, but we will teach of the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders that he has done. And so celebrate those big moments that God has given you. Celebrate the good deeds that he has done in your life. And a lot of those things that come to my mind is the salvation of your children. Or maybe when they choose to get baptized. Or when they choose to go into ministry. Or they spend a summer in service. Or they're going down and working at the senior center. There's a lot of great opportunities that you can celebrate the moments, the big milestones in your children's life. I know a family in Alaska, he's a youth pastor, and every year they celebrate their child's spiritual birthday, the year that they've accepted Jesus into their personal life. So on that day, just like a birthday, every year they do a birthday party, but they do a birthday party because they've given their life to Christ, and they're celebrating and remembering that. And so that's just a neat opportunity to celebrate a milestone in their child's life and remember what they were doing and the choice that they made. And so celebrate those milestones As I started to think about this more and more and recognizing the big moments here that Asaph is talking about, the escape from Israel and how God even took care of them in the desert, even when they didn't have food, I started to wonder about and think about, well, we need to remember those little moments too, those day to day. And I think that's even more important than the big moments because it's so easy for us to go throughout the day and God works in our life and he takes care of us and we just completely miss it. We just think, oh, we handled the day well, we took care of it ourselves, and we forget the fact that God was with us, his Holy Spirit was with us and helped us make those choices, and hopefully you allowed him to be a part of your life. And so not only the big moments and the big milestones, but you need to recognize how God was working in your life each and every day and think about those and thank God for them and teach them to your children and allow him to see that and to be aware of that so they can see that you're being thankful to God for what he is doing in your life. And how he was a part of your life. So they too can recognize how God is working in their life. And they can be thankful for it. And so recognize those little moments. Not just the big ones, but the little ones. And so that's where I think, tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord. The wonders that he has done. Those deeds that he does every day that he works in our lives. And If we look in Colossians in the New Testament, Colossians 3:17 tells us, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." So everything you do throughout the day should be done in the name of Jesus and in his name. And then we should be thankful for him helping us and helping us throughout the day. And if we can celebrate those little milestones, those little things each and every day that he does in our lives, what a great testimony and example to our children. What a great opportunity for them to see Jesus and the impact he's had in our lives. Because if we're not recognizing Jesus and we're not celebrating how he helped us, then we're really making it about ourselves. Because someone helped, someone did it, somehow we made it through the day. And if it's not me, myself, then it needs to be God. And so recognize really where you're giving the glory and help take those little moments. And so one of my favorite things that we do when we pray together before bed, and Evie prays, but the two littler ones aren't quite there yet and they're not ready to pray. But what they do is they sit there and they tell us what they're thankful for from that day. And so they have that opportunity to recognize something fun or somehow God blessed them during the day that they are really thankful for. And it's often just as simple as, "I'm thankful for going to the playground." But what a blessing. God provided a playground that our kids could go to and play at so they could have fun and enjoy life. And so those are the things that we need to be more and more aware of in recognizing God's blessings in our life each and every day and celebrating that. And celebrating those milestones, but also the big moments and being thankful that God has called our kids to love him and to follow him. And so why do we do this? Why do we spend time with our children and be intentional about moments studying God with our children and celebrate the milestones? Why do we do this? What is the importance? And the importance comes in point four, which is to avoid forgetfulness. And we see this all through Psalm 6. Apparently I missed something. Okay. but the next four verses in Psalm 78, and so let's go ahead and read those. But if you've paid attention to Deuteronomy 6 that we've read, and even the first four verses in Psalm 78, we see this over and over and over and over again. So verses 5 through 8, "He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers to teach to their children, that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and arise and tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and that they should not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation whose heart was not steadfast, whose spirit was not faithful to God." So we should set our hope in God and not forget the works of God. That's why we do this. That's why we spend time with him. So they are aware of who God is. And if we don't bring it and present it to them and make it a part of their lives, they're not going to know it. And they're going to forget. And they're going to grow up and rebel and walk away from the Lord. And so we need to be intentional and take that time, take those moments, take those milestones, so our children don't forget about the Lord. We may know him and walk passionately with him, but if we aren't teaching it, how are they going to know? How are they going to know the good things that he's done in their life, the good things he can provide for them, so they can teach it to their children? And I love this. It says, so we can teach it to the children yet unborn, and then those kids can grow up and teach it to their children. So he's not settling just for parents and kids, but he's talking about generations to come. And so we need to make sure our children know about the Lord so they don't forget about him. And we see the Israelites clearly forget about him. They go into the promised land and quickly they move on and go on to false gods and turn away from the Lord. And we see all the destruction that comes. If you read Judges and 1 and 2 Kings and Chronicles and all of those, tons of stories about them walking away from the Lord. And so Asaph here then wants to remind the people, hey, let's not forget about God so we can obey his commands unlike our fathers did. And I know in my own life, again, we talked about it earlier, but it's so easy to forget about things. And so we need constantly reminded, and that's why we need to be in his word every day and learning more about him. And if we jump back to Deuteronomy 6, and these are verses in between the two sections we looked at. But this is what God says. This is what Moses teaches the people that God says when they're going into the promised land. Verses 10 through 12, he says, "And when the Lord your God brings you into the land that he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give you, with great and good cities that you did not build, and houses full of all good things that you did not fill, and cisterns that you did not dig, and vineyards and olive trees that you did not plant, and when you eat and are full, then take care lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery." It's kind of like God knew what they were going to do, huh? Which we know that he did. But he tried to remind them and warn them ahead of time. These are great verses too, because we see that God says, hey, look, when you go in and you get land that you didn't work for, and when you have houses that are full of stuff that you didn't work for, or cisterns that you didn't have to dig, water that you didn't have to dig for, and vineyards that provide food that you didn't have to plant, and when you eat and you're full and you didn't have to work for any of that, don't forget that I provided all of that for you. And I think that that's so key, because in our lives, when things are going well and we have the house and the food and we're providing for our families, it's so easy to forget that the Lord provides all of that for us. And we need to be thankful and reminding our children, and that's so simple, but that's so valuable. Hey, God provided this food that's on our table today. God provided this house that we live in and we can stay warm and dry. God provided a car so we can get to work. And the simple things that we often neglect and we forget about are the things that are so important. And God knows and shows that right here, if we didn't talk about them and we didn't be thankful that he provided them, that we'll forget about them and move on and try to do it on our own and think that we're someone great when we're not, and that it's all because the Lord provides it for us. And so make sure your children know that, and we can teach that to them so they can remember who God is. And so we see here, I kind of summarize this up in one thing for you here, but we have time for our children when we have time for our children, we get moments to teach them about God that create milestones in their lives so they don't forget who God is. So you can see that there and put that whole thing together. And that's why this is valuable for our lives. We have time for our children when we have time for our children. And that means you have to take that time and be intentional about it, because it's easy to avoid it. But when we have time for our children, then we get those moments to teach them about God that create milestones in their lives so they don't forget. So as they grow up, they can impact the world and move on and teach people about Jesus and teach their children and their children. And we can just impact a world that doesn't love him. And as I was kind of thinking and processing through this today and processing what discipleship looks like to our children, there was kind of a key aspect that I felt like was very important that's just really not in these verses. And so we're going to just take a brief moment and kind of divert and look at some other scripture and just hit an additional point that I just think is really valuable as part of discipleship and a part of raising your children. And that's discipline. And so we're going to look at a few verses of that, and that's your little additional note there on the bottom. But Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it." And so we know that Proverbs are just generally wise sayings. They're not a guarantee. And so we all probably know people who have been passionate, people who love the Lord and have taught it to their children, and their children have still walked away. But if you can teach your children and you train them up to love the Lord, they're going to have him in their heart, and they're going to be aware of those things that God has done, and they're going to walk with him, and he will not depart from it. And so as we look at discipline here, I guess I just felt like it was important, because in our culture, more and more, we see and we're told, don't discipline a child. You shouldn't discipline your children. Just let them do what they want to do, and it hurts their feelings, or you damage them. And we don't have to get into what discipline necessarily looks like, but Scripture teaches a lot about discipline and that we should be disciplining our children. And I know in my own life that when I'm reprimanded or when I'm told something that I haven't been doing that I should be working on, it's those moments that I can learn and grow and become more like Christ. And so as I need discipline and I need someone to challenge me to be more like Christ, our children need it all the more as they are born into sin and they need to learn what it means to follow Jesus. And so let's look at some verses here in Proverbs that talk about discipline. "Folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline drives it far from him." Our children come naturally with folly. It's bound up in them, but we need to discipline them to drive it from them so they can learn to follow Jesus. Proverbs 22:23-13. Do not withhold discipline from a child. If you strike him with a rod, he will not die. We won't get into the details there, but do not withhold discipline from a child. Okay? Do not withhold discipline from a child. Proverbs 29 and then verses 15 and 17. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. And there we can talk about that right there with parents being involved in your kid's life. If they're left alone, they're going to bring shame to mom. I'm not sure why not dad, but rod and reproof give wisdom. When we correct our children, it gives them wisdom. If we leave them alone, they're going to bring shame to us. And 17, discipline your son and he will give you rest. He will give delight to your heart. They will give us rest. If we are involved in their lives, disciplining them and teaching them, they will give us rest. And I know we often don't feel like it, but I don't think it means necessarily physical rest, that we're not worn out from all the time chasing them around. But it's really that rest and that peace in our heart, knowing that they love the Lord and they're going to follow him and that they're striving to become more like him. It's that peace in our hearts. That's that kind of rest it's talking about. And we need to be careful here. And I know as a father myself, Ephesians 6:4 says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And it's so easy sometimes as fathers and our pride's hurt if they're not obeying or they're not listening to what we're teaching them. And we can take it a little bit too far sometimes. And so we have to be careful not to provoke them to anger. And I've learned, and I still don't always get it right, but I've learned to be aware of my kids' signs and when I'm going too far, pushing a little too hard, that I'm going to provoke them to anger. And so we need to be careful of that, men, as you lead your homes and as you raise your children, but bring them up in discipline and instruction of the Lord. And so why do we do this? Why do we discipline? Proverbs 13:24, whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. We do it because we love our children and because we want to see them love the Lord. And it's very plain, but if you don't discipline your child, it says you really just don't care about them. And then most importantly, Hebrews 12:6, for the Lord disciplines the one he loves and he chastises every son whom he receives. But we discipline because the Lord disciplines us. It says God disciplines the one that he loves. And so really, because it's God's example, God disciplines us and he takes care of us when we disobey him. And as a result, we should follow his example and discipline our children when they disobey because we love them. And what a great example our Father has set for us. And he disciplines us because he wants us to be aware of our mistakes so we can live more like him and represent him to that unbelieving world. And so we've got all of these points here this morning. We've got this opportunity to disciple our children and to teach them about God and to discipline them and bring them up in a way that loves the Lord. And the simplest way I felt like I could wrap it up and just to really challenge you is just this short video that I found. It's from D6, is a movement about teaching families and parents about discipling and raising their children, and churches about being involved with their children. And so this is a video on discipleship from them that I think just speaks very well, and I will just let you watch that and let that sit on your hearts and challenge you and sit with you. So
I want to be a disciple of Jesus.
I want to be a disciple of Jesus.
I want to be
a faithful disciple.
A generational disciple.
Disciple of Jesus.
I want to be a disciple of Jesus.
I want to lead my family God's way.
I want to love my wife.
To respect my husband.
I want to love my grandchildren.
To love my children.
To love my little nugget.
I want to obey my parents.
To honor my parents.
I want to do what's right.
To walk the way the Bible has taught me to walk.
To study the scriptures.
To read my Bible every day.
To know God's word.
I want to cover my family with prayer.
To consistently pray for my family.
I want to share Jesus with my friends.
With my friends.
With my co-workers.
To share the good news with the whole world.
To lead my grandchildren to Christ.
To share Jesus with everyone.
I want to personify Christ's love.
Except,
I have so many questions.
I have so many questions.
Questions?
So many questions.
Questions.
How do I start showing spiritual leadership at home?
Do my grandkids know about Christ?
What if I don't know enough?
Is God real?
Why doesn't Mom ever talk about being Christian?
Do I really believe my church?
Is the Bible really true?
How can I know God's will?
Is God the Father like my dad?
Like my dad?
How can I champion family ministry when my family is in shambles?
Would it be easier to give up?
Just to give up on my marriage.
Would he be better off without me?
Why did Daddy leave?
Are my parents getting divorced because of me? How am I supposed to fill the role of both parents?
Are you proud of me?
Do you love me?
Am I alone?
Are you listening?
I need you.
I need you.
I need you.
I need you to intentionally disciple me.
Disciple me.
Disciple me.
I need you to disciple me.
Disciple me.
Disciple me.
Disciple me.
Disciple me.
A great illustration and just a visual that discipleship starts at home when your children are young and the impact you have in their lives, but that it doesn't quit when they leave the house. We all need discipled. We all need someone to teach us more about him and what it means to live with him. So disciple your children, be involved in their lives. Let's go ahead and close with a word of prayer. God, we thank you for your words and what they teach. We thank you for the example we see in how you teach us here in Deuteronomy to teach our children about you. And we see Israel's poor example of passing it on to their children and how they walked away from you and didn't live for you. So God, I pray that in our world and in our culture where a lot of people don't know you and don't love you, and that we would disciple our children, we would be involved in their lives to teach them about you so they would know who you are and that they would not forget about you. That we could be thankful for the everyday moments that you're involved in our lives and just being aware that our whole life existence is based on you and bringing glory to your name. God, thank you for these words and pray that we would be able to go from here and just allow it to fill our hearts and take another step closer towards being your disciple and discipling our children. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.